Okay, here I am. I never wanted to be a pioneer, but I just seem to come into that sort of situation. So I give a bit of background. I wasn't quite the first, because Vajra Yogini, who was non-Ori member at the beginning, she organized a retreat in Holland, led by Vajra Daka. And because she'd met him, and they really sparked each other off. And she is a very lively woman who really sparks you off. So I met her, and she woke me up. Like, I can be more than I am now. And I was always searching for something. And so she said, "I'll come along to a meditation retreat." Okay, I was desperate. I wanted some meaning in life. I was very disappointed in Christianity. And I was going to be very careful not to be fooled again. But I was looking for something more meaningful than just living my life. And I thought I was too young to give up, so I just have to keep looking. So what I need to do is to do something that I've never done before. And it was so in '70s, yeah, 72, 73, that meditation wasn't very well known. And I come from a middle-class family, and all those sort of things were totally ridiculous. So that was something I definitely had never done, and it was outside my normal circle of being. So I went there. The retreat was a bit of a mess, because most people just wanted to do Gestalt therapy, and were not really interested in Buddhism, wanted to learn a bit of meditation. But I think, and Vajra Daka was just ordained, I think he did pretty well, seeing the circumstances. But there was something there that I recognized, or there's something here that is pure, was the purity. That was the word that came to my mind. I had quite good meditation, so beginner's mind, you know, sometimes when you're very innocent and new, you just meditate. And then for years, it didn't happen like that anymore. So there was something that got me. But then there was nothing in Holland, and I didn't know there was anything in England either, probably not very much. So 2 years there was nothing, then there was another retreat. And after that, they did a few weekends, every 3-4 months. And that was so important to me, because I had decided, yeah, that's the thing. Vajra Daka kept saying you should meditate. The meditation really makes you happy, it will change you, and all things can happen with meditation. That's how he is, you know him probably. And I just didn't believe him. But then I thought, I'm not quite honest, because I haven't tried it out. I can say I don't believe you, but I haven't done it. So then I made a decision, just on my own. I didn't tell anybody. There was nobody to tell anyway. But I didn't tell Vajra Daka. I was going to try meditation for 1 year, 3 times a week. And if it changes me, I will carry on. And if not, I'll see what I do. So I didn't want to make it too strict, because I know I can easily get undermining myself, the guilt feeling, see, I can't do it, I'm stupid. So that's why I didn't tell anybody. So authority involved, nobody I feel guilty towards, just my own decision. So I did that for a year, and I had changed, I felt different. And then, to be honest, I had to carry on. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to, but I thought, okay, if I'd done that, then it helps, so I have to carry on. So that was the start of me doing it. I always do things a bit like that. So I just try it out, and then it works. Okay, I'll carry on. So very careful. So there was a second retreat. This was a lot better, quite good. And then every 3 months. So I could just manage to keep meditating 3 times a week for the next. And then was a weekend. I got an enormous boost, usually by Vajra Daka and somebody else, yeah. And after a year, I was obviously the only one who was serious about it. Somebody asked me, I've been organizing those retreats for a year, could you take over? Because he was going to get married and have promotion, and he was very busy that next year. And I was so grateful for what they had given, because so important to me. That's always time for me to help, to do it. So I said yes, and I asked somebody to help me, which he didn't do that in the end, but anyway. So I was organizing weekends and places where to have retreats and trying to get people to come, and inviting order members from England to come over and lead those retreats. So, and he said just do it for 1 year, but I did it for about 20 years, I think. it was so important to me. So I wasn't a Mitra yet, I wasn't even sure whether I would carry on this movement. This, hardly knew it was existed, but something in me was quite important. And I got so slowly more and more into it. And I'm not the sort of person that likes doing that sort of thing at all. I was very, very shy, and you had to go to houses and try to get them as cheap as possible and find another place to go. I had to get people to come. Usually some of my friends came, or better come, otherwise she gets a nervous breakdown. So they just came for me. Or I was so enthusiastic and they saw I want that as well. So I managed to get enough people to come over. So but it was very helpful because I couldn't hide behind anybody else, which I always would have done. Because if I didn't organize, it wouldn't happen. So I had to overcome a lot of fear and overcome what I wanted to do that. And I think that has been so helpful to me. That's one of the things that helps you overcoming fear, doing things that you want to do because why? Because some people ask me, why are you doing that? Because obviously I find it quite difficult to do it. And I start to think, why do I do that? But I didn't know. And so I don't care whether I know or not know. There's something very strong in me that wanted to Dharma in Holland. I wanted to have people to have the same opportunity to find it if they want it. So it's an opportunity to meet it. And that was so strong that I think probably it was, I sometimes feel it wasn't really me. It feels like, I won't make a little joke about it, don't take this literally, as if there was a little somewhere a bodhisattva said, there's a little crack there, I can come in and get in this the Dharma, get the Dharma through, or the Dharma. So there's something very, very, very strong that made me go through very difficult times, because people sometimes didn't like me doing it, and they all that sort of thing. Something very, very strong wanted it available for people. I didn't want to make people Buddhist. I just want to give it quite freely, and then it's up to you what you do with it. Of course, people come and go, but okay. So I was on my own in Holland doing it. Later on, Pashadaka went to America. So he, very kindly, he organized somebody else, Nagabodhi, to come. So I was very touched by it. He didn't just leave and that's it. He just took somebody else with him and told him, you can take over for me. And they didn't mind coming to Holland because I was taking them out to spoil them with cheese and all sort of things. So then gradually I started to get more interested, more into it. I had heard on my first retreat, the Noble Eightfold Path, lectures by Bansi on the tape, one of the old-fashioned and they were really appealing to me. I think that was for a long time the only thing I studied. I had the tapes of the Noble Eightfold Path just over and over again. There were not many books yet. All the books you have now, they weren't there. And in the end I went, after a bit of Kashi, to go to England, but I did go. And to retreats and to days, and I had a full-time job, so I had to juggle it with my holiday time and weekend. So sometimes I came Friday. I went Friday evening on the boat, so I was here Saturday, and then I went back Sunday evening on the boat, and in the morning I could just about get on time on my work, because I had saving days. Airplanes, you didn't do that in those days, and you're 7 hours on the boat, and you could sleep on the boat, so that helped. So I did that for quite a long time, and more. And I remember I was working as occupational therapist with physically handicapped children, and one of them said to me, yes, you're going so often to England, why don't you go live there? I thought he's got a point. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to Dharma in Holland. And I was shy to go as well. So, at some point they got to know me more and more. Oh, there's retreats here, I found them so wonderful. A retreat, they were then in Vajraloka, and 1 month was for the women, and in Mandarava, the women's retreats. I was very against women's retreats. The single sex was difficult, you know. That's just the puritanical English people. We Dutch people, we don't need that sort of stuff. But I still hear that sometimes, you know. But I went to one women's retreat in Mandarava, and it felt so naturally to be just with women. I really enjoyed it. It was very natural feeling. So after that, I was quite into women's retreats. I really, really enjoying them, looking forward to them for ages, and tasting them afterwards for ages as well. But getting everything I could out of it. So I think I could do 2 a year. Yeah, this is a bit. No other holidays anymore. So at some point, I had no idea, but they had been looking at me and talking about me. I didn't know that sort of thing happened. But I found it quite difficult to ask for ordination, because I was very, it is a big step, and I'm quite scared to do that. And I knew when I would ask, it will happen quite soon. So it's not like nowadays you have 6 years of a whole process to go on. But in a way, I knew that probably people thought I was ready. So it was no safe asking. And it meant for me, that I would, for me personally, I said, then I have to give up my job, because the job was very much the center of my, I did it with my whole heart. I was getting a bit tired of it, and it was very much the center of my attention. And then more and more, the Dharma would be my center of attention. And I wanted to follow that up, so I knew I would not stay there, I would give up my job and have a total different sort of life. And I wasn't that sort of person at all. I was scared for change. I wanted things safe. I didn't like adventure. But I had meditated, so I had changed. And so I could do it. First I changed jobs to loosen up a bit. And then, so I did in the end. Oh, I remember I was pushed a bit. Have you asked for ordination yet? Oh, no. And then I asked, and a month later I got a letter. Yeah, which was very exciting. Telling people in my work, oh nice, I said, oh good. They had no idea what it meant. And some of my friends found it difficult, but they got used to it. Don't worry, they got used to it. So I went to England for a 2-week retreat with loads of mitras on it, and there were all sorts of workshops with dancing and singing and swimming and all sorts of things. Very, very nice, very playful. We were meditated, Pasha Pushpa and me were ordained on that retreat. Bhante would come over, Bhante Sangharakshita would come over and ordain us. And that was quite something. So, Vaspasha Pushpa is from Finland, and I'm from Holland, and we got on very well. There's some things, sometimes you have to with somebody, you feel you've known them for a long time. And when we were on retreats together, we often went for walks, complaining about English people. And that was quite bonding. That was really nice. I would little moan about these English people, and they're so this and they're so that, and they don't understand you. And Pasha Pushpa said, and they think I'm complicated. I said, no, you're not at all. That was really nice. So when we saw each other, we saw, it looked like we're being ordained together, and we really liked being ordained together because we felt a strong link. And I remember beforehand said, I hope we have Fasha in my name. But something like it, we were making it safe. So then we were ordained, but we shared a room. And before the ordination, she said, I need to go for a walk because It was so much meta from all those mikvahs. She said, I've got to cry, so we went for a little walk. And then there was a rose garden. I was in Seaford, a public school. There was a rose garden there, and she looked for a perfect rose. And I thought, quite nice to look for a rose, but I didn't look for the perfect. They put it beside her bed, so I took one as well. So she put it beside her bed before the ordination, and knew we would come back the evening. And I think I left my rose in the bathroom. Based on the call. But I had copied some songs from Milarepa, the one of the Nais So Happy, and I put that beside my bed. So we went there, we got ordained, got our name, and my name, Vajra Gita. So it was great because he was explaining Gita a lot, because nobody had Gita in their name yet, it was new. And we said, this is a song and it's poetry and Milarepa and this and that. And I was a bit soft. I have to express myself, so sort of feeling and a thing. And I thought, but I can't sing. I said, oh, this is, you are the song and this and that. You really, I can't remember all the things he said. And I said, do you know what I mean? I thought, I'm not going to say yes, I want to hear more. And I said, oh, what is that? Yeah, I remember that was lovely, and I had a big grin on my face because Vajra was in it. And I didn't, that after, I went to our room, and Vajra put it that she liked her name, sort of. And I said, I like my name. We didn't tell each other our names. That's the biggest secret you keep, just for one night, because the next morning was a public ordination. But it was quite interesting because she is Vajra Pushpa, and Pushpa is flower. And she had a flower beside her bed. Now it's Vajra Gita, and that is songs Vajra song, and the songs beside my bed. So quite interesting how things come together somehow, the essence sort of comes together. So that was very, very, very special. Something else I want to say about it, I think. Oh yes, there was something else. Bhante's, at the end of the private ordination, he said to me that he'd very happy I'd asked for ordination, or I'm being ordained. And I said, I'm happy for three reasons. I'm happy for you, just for me, because it would make me happy. He was happy for the order, because I think he would be a good order member. And he was happy for Holland, because I think he'll spread the Dharma there. And this, the way he said it, I took it, you spread the Dharma in Holland. No idea how you do it, but you would do it somehow. So there was also a bit of a message in it. I couldn't sort of, I'm now ordained to stay in England sort of feeling. I wasn't living in Holland still. But a strong message, bring the Dharma there in Holland. Strong support, but all the strong challenge. Yeah. So I went back to Holland, and then after 6 months I went to England just to see how they do things here. Because I'd never been to class, I'd never had a study group, and I'd been to retreats and days, but not to, just to be, see a bit how things are done. And after that I went back to Holland. Yeah. I want to say a few things about, first a bit about Holland, because then I was an order member. So I had had a little, as a friend, as a mitra, I'd already had a little meditation group before I was ordained. So, but some of them didn't like me being mitra, didn't like me being ordained. I was getting too serious, so it disappeared. But then other people were coming in to the retreats, where I just really wanted Buddhism. So slowly it started to change a bit. So I put advertisement in the paper for courses. So I started giving courses in Utrecht. I was too scared to go to Amsterdam straight away. Bhante kept saying, I'd like you to go to Amsterdam. I said, yeah, but Utrecht is quite good. Except that we were so smiling both a bit about that. But of course he was right, it's good to go to Amsterdam. So we did go to Amsterdam later. So one thing about, because I came back in Holland and I had no job. And usually through jobs and other things you make friends, and I'd been away. So I was very much alone there, and I was the only one into Buddhism. Though some mitras started coming, helping out, interesting, doing things. And I want to mention Sina Chandra here. She was one of the very brilliant mitras who were really very, very active in helping me out. Margie is another one, but you don't know her. She's disappeared. So I got some people helping me and coming along. And and then it slowly goes. Then some people came back from England to as order members. So there were 3 of us, 4 of us. And now we have 18 order members in Holland. And 4 in Belgium. We do things together with Belgium, it's the same language. So 22 order members, still a lot to do. But it's very nice to see it blossoming, very, very, very lovely. But I remember often going to Bhante. Bhante is definitely my teacher, and he is like a friend. I hardly dare say he's my friend, but he is. he behaves like a friend to me, certainly. Very, very supportive, always behind me, always coming. And I also felt the support in England behind me from order members. They were very aware I was there on my own. So you just felt they were there with me. So that was good to use that sort of thing. But I remember the first time I saw him, I was a mitra then. I went to see him because I found it a bit difficult. I didn't want a guru and I didn't want a man. So I thought I have to work on this. So I went every 6 months I saw him. And I remember the first time I saw him, he had such respect for me and faith in me. I saw him coming, this little confused little being, and him being. And he had respect for me, and that was quite very, very special. And also I felt very much, I can totally be me. So sometimes I would say, how does it matter, all this worry, when we're doing it good enough? Totally be me. And I said, oh, I want to be able to give other people that feeling, somewhere they can be totally just yourself with everything, yeah? Your warts and all. Yeah. So, with me, he was all so kind and so warm. Very strong metta. So sometimes I used it in the metta bhavana. Once I had a metta bhavana, and it was total rubbish. I hadn't even been meditating, I think. And then I thought in the middle of the meditation, I thought, oh, this is totally rubbish. Yeah? This is just worthless. Next time I should do better. But I thought, oh, it's not time yet. I can do it now. So I really started to think of Bhante and his metta, because it was the strongest experience I had of metta. And suddenly I saw a house in a garden, and I never had visions or anything. And I was angry, because I didn't want a house in a garden. I wanted metta. But then when I came out, I was full of metta. And I remember I told Bhante that. So I told it a bit like, it's your fault, yeah, I'm thinking of you, and I got my house in the garden. And when I told him, I'm thinking of you, and I got mad, and he did. Then I thought, seeing this garden wasn't important. It was just, it helped me see there are more things you can't see. There are more things exist than you can see. Because I was so disappointed with Christianity. I'm not going to believe anything anymore unless I can see it. But this gave me a feeling of there is more than you can see. And he nodded. Yeah. So, and I remember also coming back to him and saying how alone I was in Holland. Sometimes he was very good. He's always very good. But he could say, you are alone. But there are people in England there as well. And so I was totally on my own. He said, no, him. I didn't have a sangha in England. So I said, yeah, but you know more. And he said, yes, that's true. He said, yeah. Yeah. But then when I complained sometimes a bit about that, he said, just be a friend to people. Yeah, then who to, you know? Anyway, you just carry on. And it's really nice because not so long ago I saw him. I'll tell about it later, in England in Tairaloka for a bit, went back to Holland. And I kept telling him, I have so many friends because everybody was giving me everything I need, and one giving me a sofa, another a television, the other and a cooker, you know. So for me, it was totally, totally the opposite. So, so many friends now. So, yeah, what happens? Yeah, the courses. Started courses sometimes two and in a week, and sometimes four evenings, and so few people come. But you just, the thing is, you just carry on. That is what I can do, but that's the far side. You just carry on. And whether it's one person or three people or five or six, usually it was not more in those days, or ten, just keep going, just keep doing it, keep giving it. And hanging up posters, which I hated, I'm very shy still. And but then when I was trying to say, oh, that's not, I'm not going to hang poster in that shop, it's shy, ask shop, can I hang a poster in your shop? But I think this one poster can just make a change to somebody's life, so I just had to do it. It's just, I think, and that's the thing that makes me so, was so important to me, is there's something in my life that is more important than me. And that's what I was happy looking for. Something, a meaning to life. Because I thought, if I could go, if I just get a bit nicer and kinder, and then I die, so what? So it's just something which is bigger than me. I needed that. And so, and that's why you do things you otherwise wouldn't do, because there's something more important than your own comfort or your own shyness, overcoming your shyness and all that sort of thing. Later on I could do it just together with somebody else. That's much more fun, hanging up posters together. And now it's websites, so you don't need to hang up posters. Probably there are other patients like that. Let's have a look what else I had next. Oh yes, yeah, and when I was in Holland, the only starting, because Vasya Yogini was much too busy with other things and guitar therapy. She's dying now, but she kept being an order member all the time. She was not involved in setting up things in Holland. That's just not her thing. So so there wasn't anything in Germany either, or in Belgium, or there was one person in Sweden, so we had some retreats in Sweden. A bit far, but very nice, beautiful country. And but then one German man came on retreats. He knew somebody I had via my connection, got in. I was still in Mitra then, yeah, I was still in Mitra. And he came on a retreat to convince his boyfriend that he was wrong. And he came on the retreat and he stayed on and the boyfriend left. he was really convinced then. And Belgium, later on somebody came from Belgium, so slowly it's so close, and now we have a yearly coming together, these order members from France, Belgium, Germany, Estonia, Poland, Russia. It starts to spread, which is quite good. Though still quite small in Holland, still hard work. But we have a center in Amsterdam, and this year for the first time we have our own possession, something you own, a retreat center in Holland, yeah, a beautiful place. All architects are coming because it's a very interesting building. And there is a lovely, lovely place. So now we are, because for years and years and years I've been packing my cars with cushions, and first me alone, in my little Citroën, Diana Citroën. I'm very good in packing, finding all corners, sometimes crockery as well, shine stuff, for years and years, and later on now other people have been doing it. So now we don't need to do that anymore. We can just leave it in one place. Yeah. It's quite an adventure though, doing all this driving. Yeah, and there's another point you mentioned in, I can't do all the things you mentioned, but on the point was, there was a question about insights. And so insights, have I got any insights? I have never thought very much in those terms. I'm not a person that of, oh, I've got insights, hallelujah, I'm a strong religion. Anyway, I had little insights. I could mention a few because they were quite nice. One was usually only take meditation retreats in Vajralokha. I remember once I was there, I was so happy. I was standing on this field looking over the hills a bit. And I was feeling totally happy. And I thought, oh, it's not important to be happy or unhappy. It's all right. You can be happy and you can be unhappy. It's unhappy. It's not wrong to be unhappy and good to be happy, which added on to my happiness, because feeling of freedom. But sometimes you are unhappy, that's fine. There's such a culture of unhappy, there's something wrong with you, and happy, there's something right with you. Both are wrong. If you're happy, you can get a bit too self-indulgent, and if you're unhappy, you can undermine yourself. It doesn't matter, we all are happy and unhappy. So that's not so important. And that was quite a lovely idea, feeling. Of course, I still have to work on it. I'm happy not thinking, oh dear, I'm wrong. But it was... And another one is I've been walking there along the river and thinking, I'm not important. Totally not important. Same time, and just after, I am very important. It was something more the me, the ego me, or the me, is not important, but it's important because I can do things. Something like that. And that was also very sort of a bit of a koan, a very freeing feeling, very lovely feelings. His meditation retreats are very good. But also I think the longer you are in things are less new, so you're less shocked. But it goes, for me, I think it goes a bit more gradually. And then you suddenly notice you've changed. I mean, I look at life and the world, I keep looking at it every year differently. It doesn't stop. If you just keep changing, you keep feeling things. Oh, I never saw a choir like that. And then it goes on. And what I think has helped probably even more than insights is taking responsibility. I think it helped me when I started taking things on in Holland. And it helped me when I became an order member, taking responsibility for being an order member doing things. Helping me to feel responsible, but every time I got another step, I resisted. I just probably become an Annika. That's a bit of a step. You close one back door. You really take responsibility to simplify my life, to just not get it to the other step. It's easy when I'm old. another one was become a private priest. That was really scary. I was asked to become a private priest. Really, but then I said, okay, I can do it, I can help. I can just do it as best as I can. It was quite a responsibility to get somebody in the order. And then I got this public precept, and I was asked to become a public preceptor. Again, a big responsibility. You are responsible for the order. You want the order to be the right place. You want the movement to be the right place. And so I said, and then, yeah, for a while, they knew I didn't want it. So well, can't you think about it again? And so perhaps it's a help to be able, in Holland, to have one there, to be able to ordain somebody in Dutch. Both private and public, not just in private. So, but then, okay, you do that and you carry on, and it's, in the end, it's quite a lovely thing to do, and great even. But then people in my surroundings tell me, you've changed. So they notice even more that I changed than I did myself. Every time I'm sort of more happy, more. You can stand more strongly for what you believe in, perhaps. I don't know what it is. But I just want to encourage you, take the responsibility. It's a very helpful, not you should take responsibility, you know, that just, it's a joy. It's a joy to do that. Yeah, very great thing to do. Yeah. Ah, it's been 31 years, it would be so many things, I quite know what to say more about that. Oh yes, of course, I've been away. At some point, we were working together again about 5 order members by then. And now there's more 6. Dainandi came to Holland and said, would you like to come to Taraloka? Want to start a retreating there? And I said, oh, they can't miss me in Holland. I said, are you sure? She was saying, she'd been very correct. She first talked to the chairman and other people about it. And I said, oh, perhaps this is a view of me that I can't be missed, you know. So I said yes. So I went to Charaloka, I left Holland, and I went to Charaloka for, I want to go for 4 or 5 years. It became 9 years, a bit long. So that was another experience I had. It was nice to, in the middle of the movement, so it's so easy access to everything that's happening. In Holland you have to find out and get it. But it and Taraloki is in the middle. It's a lovely retreat center. It's a great place. And I love retreats. It's my favorite thing. And I love leading retreats, and especially with teams. And so I like that. The community wasn't always easy. But when you're there for 9 years, you have sort of, I've had at least 4 different sort of communities, because different combination of people after a while is very changeable. And once you are 13 people, and then it's 10, 9, and then 7, and 9. It went up and down a bit. Very international. Germany, India, also Canada. So that was, I very much enjoyed living in the countryside as well. And I'm really pleased that Loki is doing so well. It's blossoming and going better and better. So that was quite it was a challenging time. I didn't find it was easy. You really meet your own weaknesses. And I was there with somebody. My response to her was I felt strongly undermined by her. And that was hard work, because I knew what somebody, I am doing that being undermined. You can't sort of accuse her. And we had sometimes talks, and then there was a lie between us. So in a way we liked each other as well. But I was, so I really had to work harder to be strong in myself and not to start thinking I'm not worth anything. Because there was a sort of person, sometimes you have people that touch a button in you and whoops, there you go. So I worked very hard on becoming stronger, and then also noticed it. When I was stronger, she didn't do it. But when I started to be a bit wimpish, then I invited it in a way. So I invited it in her, so you can't say she shouldn't do it with her. Yeah, so that was hard work. That was very hard work. We did overcome it, both of us. So, I've made loads of friends there. So I don't hardly dare to mention my friends. There are always at least 5 I forget to mention. But many, many, many friends there. Really, really lovely. Yeah, lots of people. So whenever I come to England, wherever I am, I meet lots of friends, bunches of friends everywhere. So it's so important. I probably it's the Sangha. It's so important, friendship. So many difficulties are there. So I just had heard this week when I was in Padmaloka that my house has been burgled. Mm-hmm. And it's a big mess, laptop taken, television taken, probably more when I come home, I'll have to find out. But then they phoned me and they got the police, they got the house corporation to repair the window. They come and meet me at the airport to take me together. They've tied it up, all things, because all the doors are empty, so they put it all back in any door they could find. So that is, it's so important. And when I came back from Taraloka to Holland, I got so, because I've been in a community, you don't have anything anymore. So one gave me a cookware, the other gave me television, the other gave me a sofa, somebody else gave me wooden spoons and a tin opener. It's very, very, very lovely, lovely. The Sangha is quite very, very important. Also when you're not in difficulties. And where I live now, I live in Amsterdam. I like Amsterdam. I like city. And but just around the corner live 2 other members, Akasha Shui and Daya Padma. And 5 minutes walk away, another other member, a man other member, Xanti Varen. And so we drop in. Sometimes I feel a bit low, and then I just drop in and say, oh, can I have a cup of tea on that little chat? And they do that with me as well, at least 3 times a week. So we have at the moment not got a community, which is a pity. I like communities, even when they are sometimes difficult. But in this way, it's very difficult to find a house in Amsterdam and enough people, still quite a young Sangha, to live in there. So we're still building up there, building up. I haven't got so much as you got here. I sometimes come for our nourishment here as well. But we don't need to do that so much anymore, because we've got our own order. And our order, Dutch people can be a bit difficult and always say no and be there, but underneath it is a strong harmony. It's lovely when we are together. It feels very, very, very good. Yeah. And we can more and more say things to each other, give feedback, and it's still the warmth and it's there. Yeah. I don't know how long I've talked, but I think it's... Oh, I had an ending thing, I think, somewhere. Nice, you all have a nice ending there. Nice ending sentence. I've lost my nice ending sentence. What a pity, never mind, no ending, nice ending. Yeah, I think it is a bit what I already said, that it's very important to have to do something that is more important than yourself. Mm-hmm. Just the need in yourself to have that, not just because you should. And also, and whatever you want to do, and also to do it together with others. Because when you don't do it together with others, you can easily get into I am good sort of thing. Now, whenever you do anything with other people, you can never start to think I'm good. I'll get some time. Another little example. Because sometimes I have time, things go really well. I've been ordaining somebody, been a Kashavana, I've been a good flow of energy, and you start secretly thinking, oh, I'm doing pretty well. Getting a bit proud of yourself. This one, I'm doing really well. That's 3 minutes. Oh, no, don't think of that. No, I'm doing really well. So I came home feeling really happy coming back, and then I went to a bit further on to my friends. They were not there, or one friend, she wasn't there, but we share a shed, and my bicycle pump is in there. My very Dutch thing, bicycle pump, is very important. So I went there, and she was on solitary, and she'd taken my bicycle pump with her. And it was my bicycle pump. And why didn't she leave a notice taking your bicycle? So I was amused myself when I saw that. I was very reactive, very angry. I needed to phone the person who'd driven her in the car. Why didn't you take my bicycle? It's totally ridiculous. It was so good, because then you know where you are. You know how... it was totally, and then I couldn't use my bicycle. I said, I do go up a bus anyway. And there's another old man living nearby who has a bicycle pump. I remember I had him on the phone, and I was still a bit reactive, and he just said, oh... And he came over with the bicycle pump, and he even pumped my my tires for me. So, and but it was good. I could see it, and I could not act on it. So that was a step forward. And I told her later, and she said, "But I didn't take it." And then she was laughing about herself. So it's a sort of so it's very good to do things together with others and. And just let's have something more to live for. Mm. Okay. That's quite nice.